Today we're going to be in Exodus chapter 14, if you'd like to open up there. I do want to thank everybody for being out last night. We had a marvelous time. I was wondering, though, because when Pastor Dave called and said, "Do we have a wheelchair?" I thought, what in the world is he up to? But I didn't share that with him. I trusted him. And he brought out my cream for those that were there. We thank you and the teens because that was just a great time. And the devotional afterwards was great. So we thank you guys for doing all of that. If you weren't there, you missed Cindy and I's love story. So that's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. But Exodus chapter 14 this morning. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for this day that you've given us and how we have such joy and peace and hope in our hearts today because of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we just heard the word song, you know, if that isn't love, how can we even describe love? The only way we can describe it is Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for loving us so much that Jesus would come and die for our sins. So, Father, as we begin to unfold the word of God this morning, we pray that we would look at this passage of Scripture and see the way that you work in the lives of those who love you and serve you. And Father, come to understand that this morning we can trust you. We can trust you with the impossible. We'd ask your guidance, direction, and blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. I read the other day this statement that said, "The difficult we do immediately, the impossible takes a little longer," and how true that is. Moses was learning a very important lesson as we're traveling through the book of Exodus. If he was willing to do what was possible, then God was responsible for doing the impossible. When we do what is possible, God will take care of the impossible. For God never expects us to do what only he can do. But he does expect us to do what we can do. Think about this. Christ never expected his disciples to raise Lazarus from the dead. But yet when Christ did that, he told his disciples, "Go and take the grave clothes off of them." He was the one that could raise him from the dead, but he told the disciples, "Now you do what you can do. Take the grave clothes off." Jesus never expected his disciples to multiply five little loaves of bread and two little fish into feeding over 5,000 people one day. But he did ask his disciples after he had created the miracle to go and to distribute the food to those that was there that day listening to his teaching. You see, God does the impossible, but he expects us to do what we can do. Pharaoh had finally agreed to let the people go. God would lead his people, but they would still be facing their greatest challenge yet. And the Bible tells us in chapter 14 and verse 5 that Pharaoh reconsidered his decision to let Israel go. In verse number 5, it says, "When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Moses and his servants had a change of, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart toward the people. And they said, 'What is this we have done that we have let Israel go from serving us?'" He has a change of heart. What in the world do we do? Now we no longer have slaves. We no longer have anybody to serve us. And I want us to walk through the events that take place in chapter 14 this morning to see how we can trust God with the impossible. The first thing we read, if you look at verse 6, it says, "So he made his chariots ready and took his people with him. And he took 600 select chariots and all of the others chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he chased after the sons of Israel as the sons of Israel were going out boldly. And then the Egyptians chased after them with all the horses and chariots and Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and they overtook them camping by the sea." Well, the first thing we see here today is Pharaoh's pursuit of God's people. I mean, the Egyptian army is coming to verse the people of God. Now, Pharaoh made no waste of time here. He assembled his 600 choice chariots. He gets the other parts of his army together, the other chariots, and he seeks to go out and to pursue the Israelites there in the wilderness. Now, his army was the best at that time in the world. But you think about the Israelites, they really didn't have any military equipment. All they had was a bag with some unleavened bread in it and a few sticks that they used to herd their sheep and their cattle. Certainly they were no match for the Israelite, for the Egyptian army there. They had none of that. And so here they were in a very helpless situation in the presence of the most notorious enemy in the world at that time. Look at verse 10 with me as we pick up the story. As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they became very frightened. And so the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. And then they said to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And so as they look out and they see the cloud of dust and they hear the hoof prints of the horses and the army marching after them, their first response, the Bible says that they were frightened. They were fear. They were filled with fear. They looked and they saw the approaching army and they cried out to the Lord. But as you read the rest of the verses, you understand this. They had no confidence that God could help them. It says that they cried out to the Lord and then began to complain to Moses, you know, well, we're just going to die out here in the wilderness. So in the way they reacted with fear, they didn't have the confidence or the faith that God could help them. Fear had distorted their memories. I mean, life in Egypt may not have been easy. I mean, it was cruel. The slavery was cruel and demeaning. But faced with this crisis, they remembered the past they wanted to. Surely it would be better to remain in Egypt. Surely the predicament we're facing right now, I know it's overwhelming, but why did you bring us out of here, you know? Surely it would have been better for us to stay in slavery. The point was they were in a position now that they could do nothing about. What could they do against the armies of Egypt? Now, there is something for us to learn here today from this first part of these scriptures, the fact that, you know, belonging to God does not exempt us from the sufferings of life. We were born in a sinful world, and the sins and the things that take place in this world, we're affected by all of that. Some of the chaos that is going on in our world today. Think about those that have lost their lives in the earthquake over this last week. Think about the instability of our world today with North Korea and China and Russia and all of these things taking place. We live in a world that is totally unstable. And just because we belong to the Lord does not mean that we're going to miss all of these trials and these things that take place in our lives. Sometimes serving the Lord results in even a little bit more of trials. I've talked to young Christians before where they admit that they were now facing a new series of battles that they knew nothing about before they were converted. You know, somebody tells you, now don't be discouraged that the Christian life is all roses. They've told you something that's not true, okay? But think about this. Something wonderful had happened to them. Something wonderful had happened. They had been living in bondage for over 400 years, and now they were delivered from that bondage. Something great and marvelous had happened to them, and the enemy doesn't like it. Pharaoh doesn't like it. Folks, when something wonderful happens to us, and I mean that we get saved, we live in a life of bondage of sin, and all of a sudden we come to know who Jesus Christ is, and we're delivered from the bondage and the power of sin. Guess what? The enemy doesn't like it. Satan doesn't like it. The devil doesn't like it. As long as you're living in sin, you're part of his team. And as long as you're an obedient slave to him, doing whatever your desires dictate, that's okay. But when you make that decision to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you take that one step from under his control and he flies into rage. He flies, just like Pharaoh did. What in the world did we do letting these people out? And Satan will try to come and attack you. The dust of Pharaoh's chariots eclipsed the Israelites' view of God. Think about that. God had delivered them. But a cloud of dust and the sound of hoofbeats, the sound of soldiers marching, eclipsed their view of the God they said they love and serve. One man put it this way, that the cloud of dust seemed greater than the glory, the cloud of glory that accompanied the nation. Think, the cloud of glory was leading them. But the cloud of dust from the enemy clouded their vision. Their situation was extraordinary, and there was only one way they were going to be delivered from this situation, and that was for God to intervene. So let's pick it up again in verse 13. But Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." And then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. As for you, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the sons of Israel shall go through in the midst of the sea on dry ground. And as for me, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and horsemen. Then the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord, when I am honored through Pharaoh, through his chariots and his horsemen. The angel of God, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind, and the pillar of the cloud moved before them and stood behind them." Now here they're in this impossible situation. And when we're in those type of situations, folks, only God is the answer. But we must believe in the promises that God has given to us. How would you like to have been Moses? Think about this. It's believed that 2 million people left that day. Just think if you were Moses. 2 million fingers pointing at you. 4 million eyeballs looking at you, blaming you for what is taking place. What a difficult place. But here's something wonderful about it. It was an opportunity for Moses to show the character, the grace, and the faith of God. It was an opportunity for him to display his faith in the Lord, to show the grace of God, to reveal to the people the character of God. Because he was in a place where God alone could rescue him. Now, when we find ourselves in those places, understand this, that God, remember, God led the people here. So they were right where God wanted them to be. And unfortunately, we don't like those places, but sometimes that's what God does. And when he leads us into a difficult situation, you know what happens? It's a test. It exposes our heart. Many times when you find yourself in a situation like that, we try to find the easiest way to escape, What's the nearest available exit that I can get out of this problem with? Be careful in doing that, because you'll find out that Satan will give you a clever way to get out easy. Maybe it's something at work or something like that, and Satan gives us another option, which will always end up to be deadly. What I mean here is, think about this. Perhaps we say, I can get out of this situation that I created. All I could do is tell a little lie. That's it. I can get out of it, I just tell this little lie. Then you wind up telling so many lies, you forget the lie that you told in the first place until you don't work. You know, I'll just tell. Think about young people that, you know they got that big exam coming the next day and they forgot to study or decided not to study. And, well, you know, I can just do a little cheating and I'll get by with it, won't I? Sure. It's amazing to me. Let me just say this. It's amazing to me how many individuals that we're finding out who have falsified their resumes, if I can say that, you know. It's an amazing thing. You see, when we find ourselves in that situation, what does your heart look like? Here they were fearful. Well, what are we going to do? Okay, let's just surrender. That's the easiest thing to do. We'll just surrender to Egypt and let them take us back into slavery. That's the easiest thing to do. When you find yourself in that situation, it exposes your heart, but it also exposes your character. Out of all these people, 2 million people, Moses passed the test with a perfect grade. He remembered to pray rather than to panic. It shows his heart and his character. He remembered what he had learned in the early conflicts with Pharaoh. And this is it, folks. Situations that are out of our control are firmly in God's grasp. Whatever situation might come up, we've had folks in our church that have been dealing with some very serious issues of health. We've also had people that have been experiencing other difficulties in their homes, heaters blowing up and all this. There's been a lot going on. Challenges that you really don't expect to have, but you have them. Moses exposed his heart and his character because he understood that when this situation was totally out of his control, he knew that situation was firmly grasped in the hand of God. His people were trapped. The Red Sea was in front of them. The mountains were around them. And the strongest army in the world was behind him. But Moses did not act like a typical man. He did not run from his responsibilities. If you look at verse 13 and 14 again, Moses reacted not by looking at the sea. He did not look behind him at the huge cloud of dust that was getting closer and closer. Here's what he did, folks. He looked up. Simple as that. He didn't look ahead at the sea. He didn't look behind him. He didn't look at the mountains on the side of him. He simply looked up. And this is a lesson for us, because no matter how high the walls, no matter how deep the ditch that is in front of you, it's always possible for me and you to look up, no matter what it would be, no matter whatever situation, no matter how impossible it seems to be, we can always look up and know that everything is under his control. Now, Moses here, if you look at the scripture there in verse 13 and 14, Moses was called upon the promises that he had learned from God in the past. Now, Moses, you know, he knew the promise that was made to Abraham. What was the promise made to Abraham? God told Abraham that the people would go into bondage for a period of time, and then they would be delivered, and that they would go and take possession of the land of Canaan. That was God's promise in the past. And Moses was leading the people out, so he knew the time was up. God had preserved his people. God's reputation was at stake here. God could not deliver his own people. And so Moses looks back and he remembers what God had promised him. But what I also want you to see, that he was encouraged with the presence. Look what he said. God said to him in verse 15 and verse 16 there in chapter 14. He said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. As you lift up your staff and stretch it out alone over the sea and divide it, the sons of Israel go through in the midst of the sea on dry ground." Notice what he said to them, you know. "The Egyptians are going to be totally destroyed." Verse number 13. Totally destroyed. They're going to be destroyed. You're not going to see them anymore. They would never again have to confront Pharaoh. Never again would they have to see the angry faces of the officers. Never again would they feel the pain of the lash that they received when they baked the bricks. God would be glorified. Verse 18, it says that God would be glorified. Verse 19, the Bible, I love this. In verse 19, the angel of the Lord shifted from guiding them to protecting them. And here's what I want to see. This is what I'm trying to lead up to is this, folks. When the situation called for the impossible, God was there. Think about that. They were in an impossible situation, army behind, sea in front, mountains on the side. What were they supposed to do? But when the situation called for the impossible, God was there. And Moses told the people to stand by and see the working of the Lord. God told the people to get ready to see him at work as they had never seen him work before. This was not a time to run. This was not a time to fight. Their mouths were to be quiet. This was God's moment, not theirs. This was God's moment. God had led them into a corner, and he was responsible to find their way out. The people had done what was possible. They had sprinkled the blood on the doorpost, and they had packed their bags, and they had started on this long trip to Canaan. They had done what they could do. And now it was Todd's time, and God was there, and God would take care of them. And folks, you and I get in some tight places from time to time, difficult situations, but folks, realize this, you can always do this. Look up. Look up. For when the impossible comes, God is there. In verse 15 and 16, there is a, folks, remember this, there's a time to pray and a time to act, and Moses stretched out his rod over the sea. And the rod he had used to herd the sheep, and the rod that he had used to perform the miracles. And the strong wind blew that night, parting the waters. Once again, the ordinary rod of Moses became the extraordinary rod of God. If you look at verse 21, the Bible says, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind and all night, and turned the sea into dry land, so the waters were divided. Moses gives the command for the people to go, and they obeyed. They had doubts, I'm sure, but the plan of God was beginning to come very, very clear. Verse 22, then the sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and the waters were like a wall to them on the right hand and on the left. Moses said to the people, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord. That word salvation means to be delivered from an impending danger. And boy, were they in danger. But when they needed it, God was there. They had done their part, and now it was time for God to do his part, the impossible. And folks, remember, the same is true in our lives today. In verse 23, let's pick it up. It says, then the Egyptians took up the pursuit of all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen, went in after them into the midst of the sea. At the morning watch, the Lord looked down at the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion. And he caused the chariot wheels to swerve, and he made them drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians. And then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may come back over the Egyptians and over their chariots and their horsemen. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal state at daybreak while the Egyptians were fleeing right into it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and their water returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen. And Pharaoh, the entire army that had gone into the sea after them, not even one of them remained, but the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea, and the waters were like a wall to them on the right and on the left. And the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptian dead on the seashore. And when Israel saw the great power the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. Now look at the victory there, folks. God confused the army. The Egyptians had raced into the sea. In desperation, they realized once again that their contest was not with the Israelites, that God was fighting the battle. The Bible tells us that God destroyed the enemy, and the Israelites were safe on the shore on the other side. And God did this for a reason. In those final hours of confusion and distress, notice what happened. The Egyptians finally admitted the fact that God was Jehovah. He was the God. It is too bad that they came to this conclusion too late to be saved. And second, God did this to preserve his own integrity. His enemy saw his power and his justice. But here's the important part, folks. His chosen people saw his love and faithfulness. You see, when you're in that battle, whatever it might be, maybe someone's caused that battle in the workplace or whatever it might be, or maybe there's a problem somewhere else. Maybe it's even some medical problem or whatever. In the midst of that battle, we know that God is there and God will do the impossible. And to you and me, he demonstrates his love and his faithfulness. I've been in the workplace before where things were happening that, I just put it this way, being treated unjustly, you know, and I decided I'll just let God handle it. And that one company I was working for, I went on to operate my crane and all of that. They wound up in bankrupt. There was another company that was started cheating us guys from our salaries and stuff like this. And their idea was to try to show more income so they could borrow more money under false pretenses. And that was the time they told me that if I did not do what they told me to do, I would be fired. And I told them, goodbye. They said, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going to be fired. I'm not going to sit in the rest. I hate meetings. I'm not going to sit in the rest of this meeting if you're going to fire me. I went back to my office, started packing up. Well, Greg, come here. Now, wait a minute. We're going to make an exemption for you. Okay. I mean, think about it. You have a wife and kids, and you're getting ready to get fired, you know. Well, how are you going to take care of your family? But God was there. Out of 30 salesmen sitting there, and I was a crane specialist, and the vice president of the company says, you will do it, or you're fired. I said, I will not lie for you. I will not do something that's dishonest. I will not. Well, then you'll be fired. And I said, goodbye. But God was there. God was there. And the victory was won. I didn't lose my job. I don't know if he ever lost his, but God was there, folks. And through that, you learn this. You see the faithfulness of God in his love for you. But not only that, you can see the justice of God for those that are trying to get you to do something that you're not supposed to do. Now, folks, we all face these impossible situations from time to time. I don't think we'll probably never see God work as dramatically as he did here, you know, splitting the Red Sea. But I can rely on these promises. I know for a fact that wherever I'm at, God has ordered my steps for the day, and this is exactly where he wants me to be. And so if I find myself in a predicament, then it's by the will of the Lord. And this is where the pillar of fire has taken me, and it's taken you. And so I understand that there's going to be difficult times in my life, but if I'm following the Lord, I'm in his will. And the Lord will lead me down the path that he wants me to walk on. And I understand that path will have potholes and it will have some detours and even a barricade here and there. But he wants to see my heart. He wants to see your heart. He wants to see your character. He wants to be able to prove himself faithful to you. And so there are many tight places, folks. But they're not a problem for the Lord. And God always provides a way of escape. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13, you write that down. You go back and read it later there. God's grace that he gives us every day gives us the avenue that we can deal with whatever it is. He may not snatch us out of the predicament, but I do know this, no matter what it is, God is going to walk with me and through there with me. No matter what mess I find myself in, maybe it's something I've created my own self, maybe it's something that somebody else has done, I don't know. But I do know this, that when I'm in that situation, there's one thing for me to do. There's one decision you can always make that is right, and that's this: seek the face of God. Seek the face of God. When you can't go to the right or the left, folks, look up. And when you look up, you'll find the wisdom how to deal with it. God will always be with you. When Adam and Eve sinned, God was ready to redeem. When David committed adultery and murder, God was ready to forgive. When Daniel faced the lion's den, God was right in there alongside of him. And when we cry out to him in our predicament, his ears are tuned to our prayers. I read this statement the other day. It says, you cannot say that Jesus is all I need until you can say, Jesus is all I have. When Jesus is all you have everything that you need. And so when Moses was facing the impossible, there was only one thing to do, and that was to look up. And he knew where the possible ended and where the impossible began. And so he led the people exactly where God told him to lead them. He could lead them to the edge of the water, and that was the possible. From there, he could do nothing else. And so when the impossible came, he spread out his rod, and God did the impossible. Now, I don't know what Red Sea you'll face tomorrow. I don't know what Pharaoh you might be breathing down your neck tomorrow. I don't know. I don't know what mountains we'll face tomorrow. I don't know what will be on our left or on our right, but I do know this, that God created the Red Sea, that they were staring at. I know that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, who was trying to enslave them. I know that God made their mountains on the right and on the left of them by divine appointment, but God raised them up. Think about this. Your enemies have been raised by God so that you might declare the power that God has to deliver you from whatever you might be in. I read this statement, said, remember, God is always with us and will deliver us in his time. In his time. So as Moses held the rod in his hand, so God held Moses in his hand. Power wasn't in the rod. Power wasn't in Moses. It was in God who held them both. And God has you safely in his hand today. Every situation we face, whatever it might be, and we could look at a whole list, I'm not going to, but think about this. Every situation we face, never forget that you're in the hand of God. And God expects us to do what we can do, but we need to leave the impossible to him. And he will do exactly what is right at the right time. I'm going to close with this. In chapter 15, then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is mighty, highly exalted. The horse and its riders he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God. I will praise him, my father's God, and I will extol him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. And so, when that challenge faces you tomorrow, when the enemy is pursuing, and you can't see how to go forward or left or right, just look up and trust the one who you are safely in his hands, and he will do the impossible, for he is our Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to share your word today. Father, there's so many folks within our churches that are faced right now that are facing many, many challenges. And I just pray, Father, today that you just give them a peace in their hearts. Maybe it's healing, maybe it's other something else, but be with them, Lord, and give them a peace in their hearts that you know you're in control and nothing, as Paul said, is impossible with you. Nothing. So may we put our faith and trust in you for whatever it might be. It is our prayer, though, today, that those that will be with us today, maybe somebody listening on Facebook that doesn't know Jesus Christ, Father, help them to come to understand that they need to trust Christ today. Paul says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that they can be delivered from the bondage of sin. And they need to do it before it's too late. And so we would pray, Father, if someone needs to be saved today, that they come and let us share God's word with them. If you're listening to us on Facebook, give me a call at the office. I'd love to walk through the scriptures with you. Maybe there's another need this morning. Maybe someone wants to join this church, or maybe need to be scripturally baptized. Whatever the need might be, may we say yes to you, for we know that you're leading us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be standing with us as we sing.
Invitation hymn is hymn 634.
For being with us today. Pastor David, would you close us in prayer, please?
I thank you this day. Help us this week, Lord, to look up. Help us to look up in faith. Help us to look up knowing the strength of our life is indeed you. Lord, you and your promises, they never fail. And Lord, our faith indeed is found in the perfect resting place. Lord, may the faith that we live by, Lord, may be a testimony for you, and that we draw other people to the cross. Salvation as well as Christ. Great blessings as we go.